أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم، هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن. علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم، فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم، وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر، ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد، تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها، كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون. ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون. On the night of fasting, it is permitted for you to be intimate to your wives. They are your garments and you are their garments. Allah Ta'ala knew that you were secretly deceiving yourselves, so He forgave you and overlooked your faults. So now you may associate with them and seek what Allah Ta'ala has ordained for you, and go on eating and drinking until the white thread of dawn becomes distinct from the black thread. Then complete the fast till the approach of night, and do not associate with them whilst you are in i'tikaf in the masjids. These are the limits of Allah Ta'ala, so don't even go near them. This way Allah Ta'ala explains to you His commands, that you may learn self-restraint. Initially, it was impermissible to be intimate with one's wife on the night of fasting, the moment a person went to retire and sleep during the night, then it was impermissible for him to have any type of relationship with his wife. In fact, the fast would commence with sleep. The moment you go to sleep, and then your fast has already commenced. So Allah Ta'ala had given a concession that you may eat and drink, and you may have some intimacy with your family until the approach of dawn, what we know as Sari or Subh Sadiq. And then Allah Ta'ala explains the Subh Sadiq, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ, until the white thread of dawn becomes distinct from the black thread. In the earlier part of the morning, you will find thin streaks of light on the east, and followed by some black zones, and thereafter you will find a pinkish white appearing on the east, and this will go on growing. So this second white light, pinkish white in color, that covers the horizon in the east in that part of the morning, that is called the true dawn or Subh Sadiq. So the start of the fast is from this second dawn, that is known as the true dawn or the Subh Sadiq. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ السِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Then about those that are sitting in i'tikaf in the masjids, then there is an additional requirement. Overall, the fasting person was allowed to be intimate with his wife, but the one that is sitting in i'tikaf in the month of Ramadan, then it is impermissible for him to be intimate with his wife in the state of, whilst he is in the state of i'tikaf. Hence Allah Ta'ala closes this whole discussion. These are the limits of Allah Ta'ala, so don't go even close to it. The commencement of fast has been shown to you. The end of the fast has been shown to you. So you have learned the limits of Allah Ta'ala, the commencement and the end. Then don't experiment in the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you try to push things beyond their limits and nullifying your fast. You know, push things beyond the limit, and you may think to yourself, yes, there is still some time, and let me go on eating. And in the meanwhile, you've encroached into the time, and the Subh Sadiq has already commenced, and you went on eating, so you have encroached into the limits of Allah Ta'ala. Or you have eaten before the time, again encroaching and crossing over the limits and the borders of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا تَأَكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And don't eat your wealth unjustly amongst yourselves, referring it to the judges and leaders, that you may eat some portion of people's wealth unjustly, knowingly and unjustly, wrongfully. You may eat some people's wealth. So there's two types of prohibitions here. One is eating the wealth unjustly, and number two is eating people's wealth wrongfully, eating people's wealth, whereas you know what you are doing is wrong. So this wrong is perpetrated in this manner, that you would go to people that are in authority, and perhaps you may be corrupt and engage them in corruption. In the meanwhile, you'll gain some favors through the protection of the law. Because you have seen the authorities right, then they will make a decision in your favor. In the meanwhile, you know what you are doing is wrong. You are eating someone's wealth unjustly, incorrectly. We need to understand two things here. One is this, that whilst we are fasting, and we leave out our basic needs, basic human physical needs, eating, drinking, and being intimate with women. So these are the three things that we leave out to see that the fast is complete. But to realize the true benefit of fasting, then a fourth need also has to be controlled. We need to see that we are controlling and taking care of the fourth need. The fourth need that is human is the greed and the greed for the acquisition of wealth and property. So this greed is normal. Every person aspires for more and for more. But we need to see to it that we control this and we discipline this greed, that we do not take away people's property incorrectly, wrongfully, unjustly. And there are various ways of acquiring people's properties incorrectly and unjustly. One is the normal stealing, robbing, embezzlement, dishonesty, etc. And the other is to use the framework of the law to wrongfully acquire people's wealth and property. So this is the fourth type of need that we need to control. Again, in this fourth type, that we use the framework of the law to get some favors. So getting favors through the framework of the law doesn't necessarily make it halal. Doesn't necessarily make it permissible and legal. For example, you were required to furnish your claims with evidence, and you had faked up some evidence and provided it whilst you had furnished your case, you have supported your case with evidence that is faked up. Obviously, the law is under constraints to pass the decision in your favor. Even though they have passed the decision in your favor, then this doesn't make it legal and permissible. It doesn't make it halal. You may be deceived if you think that this is halal. The other way that people also practice is they would go to people that are in authority, the judge or the magistrate, etc., see him right, and thereafter he will pass the decision in your favor. So So these both are corrupt. You've got the protection of the law, but that doesn't make your halal, your wealth halal. Both are impermissible, both are haram, and both are incorrect. Islam plays a lot of importance, shows a lot of importance on the acquisition of halal and abstinence from haram. The normal haram we all know of, embezzlement, stealing, robbing, fraud, etc. Then there is one fourth area that Islam speaks about, the Sharia talks about, is what we know as bay'a fasid, corrupt dealings. So the dealings that become corrupt, they become corrupt because of one of three basic reasons. There's ambiguity in the price that you have sold, the commodity, there is some type of ambiguity in that. For example, you say the person take away the commodity, and then we'll talk about the price later. So this is being ambiguous in your contracting that will render the dealing corrupt. The second is the content that you are selling, that is also ambiguous. Say the person take away this car, it's all right. So you do not tell him and disclose to him exactly what are the faults, and if there are any problems with the car, you don't disclose the problems to him. You sell that commodity in ambiguity, or you sell a box of items and it is ambiguous. He doesn't know exactly what are the details and what is the quality of the thing that you are selling him. So this is again ambiguity, and it could render the sale corrupt. The third is that you have done the deal, but the date of payment again is ambiguous. You do not define the date of payment. So these this acts of ambiguity obviously leads to fights, quarrels, misunderstanding. So Islam requires that all these things be made very clear. There must be no ambiguity left. Write it down and furnish it and support it with evidence, etc. If you look and examine most of the disputes and problems in companies, families, etc., it is on account of these type of reasons, where there is some type of ambiguity. Nothing is written down. There isn't any witness that is supporting the documents or the dealings. As a result, it goes into dispute, goes into courts, and then it's a disgrace and embarrassment for one and all. So Islam lays a lot of importance upon this. Therefore, the hadith says that if a person is blessed with three, then he is a jannati. One is he eats halal. Number two, he practices the sunnah. And number three, he avoids hurting people in any way. In another hadith, it is reported a person has got these four things, then if he doesn't get anything of the wealth, then it isn't a problem, if provided he got these four things. One is, he's honest. Number two, he is truthful. Number three, his character is very good and straight. And number four, he eats of halal. So if he's got these four, then if he doesn't get anything else of the world, then he's got much more than what he could bargain for. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu had asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make dua for him, that his duas get answered. So Rasulullah explained to him that eat of halal and your duas will be answered. And every flesh that is nourished with haram, then it is more deserving for the fire of Jahannam. That Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu explains that when a person acquires haram and he gives it out in charity, then this is rejected. He spends it upon himself, then there is no barakat in it. He leaves it for his children, then this is a provision for Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala is pure. He only accepts that which is pure. When a person eats of a haram morsel, he eats out of haram, then his prayers are rejected. 40 days, his prayers are all rejected. Now imagine the person is eating haram, and then he's proceeding for Umrah, Hajj, spending thousands of rands, just to know and just to realize that whatever he's been spending upon is futile, useless. He spent all that time, all that energy, all that wealth, but at the end he realizes that there is no production, no reward whatsoever. So the importance of halal cannot be overemphasized. May Allah give us tawfiq.